Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein here with my partner in life, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Welcome, Dr. Mary.
Hi.
She's in Denver, Colorado. I'm over in the Bay Area right now, and we have a really wonderful guest with us for this Life by Life West series that we're doing. We have Dr. Austin Davis from San Francisco, Oakland, Richmond, all over the place. The Bay Area, we'll say. Welcome, Dr. Austin.
Thank you so much, Dr. Oberstein. I appreciate being here.
Yep. Yeah, and you don't have to call me Dr. Oberstein. You never do when we're in
Thank you, Ron.
Person, so it doesn't matter. But let me tell our audience a little bit about Dr. Austin. He's a 2011 Life West grad, phenomenal chiropractor, practiced for the first year and a half or so in his father's office in Oakland, had an independent contractorship there, decided he wanted to move into downtown San Francisco and went to a very up-and-coming hip place in San Francisco, opened his doors. He'll talk to us about it. Just started serving from his abundance and, was serving anywhere from, 700 to 800 visits a week and just doing amazing things there. He also was the ICA rep for a while for the state of California. You can see his shirt. He's got his ICA shirt on. He's repping the ICA. There you go. He also, which is really amazing, he's been married for 6.5 years to Zev, and he has a 3.5-year-old son, Ari, who is the treasure of his life, along with his family. And keeps a great balance, got a cabin out in the woods somewhere. He won't tell us where it is. So it's his sacred spot. And he's just into so many cool things. So we're going to get into it, but that's Dr. Austin in a nutshell. But let's dive in. We'll start talking about what's going on.
Yeah. Let's dive in, because we know you have a lot of good information. So the first thing, I'm curious about is, why don't you share with the audience just some successes, some challenges. One of the things that I know the students in particular love to hear about are the challenges and how you overcame them. So if you can kind of think back even to the early years.
Yeah, it's important to recognize the challenges. It's something I still try to work on every day. Some of the challenges too, for me, were not always what I thought they would be. I thought challenges would be like getting people in the office or how to close the patient. The challenges sometimes were more difficult to recognize, things like how to manage a patient properly and keep them coming back in after the corrective phase of care, how to not overlook existing patients to only generate new patients, and how to grow a practice organically that way. And coming out of school, my mentality was I need to find as many new patients as possible. And then learning about how if one person was willing to come into my office and I could focus all of my energy on that one person, chances are that one person knows many people. And if I can truly express chiropractic through that one person, they could become a tremendous referral machine for me. And I wouldn't have to just be thinking about, okay, how else can I market myself while that one person's in my office, and how else can I get other people in? And I would just turn my energy into just being with that one person. And that ended up being a tremendous success from what I thought at first was a disadvantage, because it was challenging for me to grow in the beginning, because I don't do any marketing. I don't spend money on marketing. I have a social media presence, but it's not like chiro focused. It's just sort of who I am. Mm-hmm. So it was challenging at first that I would be fortunate enough to meet someone on the street, have them come in, and then I would already be separating my mind to how I could find other people out there, right, instead of being totally present with that one person.
Right. So, you know, you jumped into the big city, obviously, you know, you left Oakland, which is a big city, and you went to San Francisco downtown. What area? Mill something or Mill Creek or what?
Hill, Hayes Valley.
Hayes Valley.
Yeah, right in the center of the city.
Yep. And have a, you know, just up and coming area, you know, really hip place, great restaurants, all kinds of stuff. And you don't know anybody. You know, and I don't know how many people came from Oakland with you over to San Francisco. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't
well,
in a year and a half.
We had, I think we froze here. I'll just smile until I hear you.
You can go.
Yeah, okay. We had not many people come from Oakland over to San Francisco. We had two patients actually come from student clinic. And then we just started building organically in the city.
Nice. Nice. But how'd you build? Like, well, before you even say how you build, you know, you talked about just, you know, learning how to look at every patient as, you know, not thinking of, okay, now they're in, we'll just go somewhere else. I'm focused on the next one, the next one, the next one. You to focus on those people that were in front of you. How'd you do that? You know, what was the lesson and what was the challenge? And as you started to move, because that's a really big topic, right? You know, Dr. Mary, we know that, right? With associates that come in, you know, like they get someone in, it's like, oh, here they are, you know, and then immediately not focused on them anymore. They're going over here, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Ron, would you mind just asking the question again? The screen froze there for a moment.
Yeah. So, you know, you talked about focusing on the person who was in front of you, right? And not going with the mindset of, I need new ones, I need new ones, I need new ones, which tends to lead us to not taking care of who's there in front of us. Because once they come in, well, okay, good, I got one in the frying pan. Now I want to go and get more new ones, right? You know?
Right. So
how'd you make that distinction?
Yeah, the switchover for me came from, and I know you guys will know this name very well, but Sid Williams and his teachings through DE, which my father brought me to since I was an infant. So in some regard, it was sort of ingrained in my DNA. But what it was the ideology that you have two hands, and you have a service hand and a business hand. And the two really should know what each other are doing. And part of it was a patient would come in, and it's easy to start seeing dollar signs and say, this is a business. I need people to make money because that's what I'm here for. And what I had to do is set that as sort of a background baseline that, of course, I'm in business. I'm a doctor. I'm a chiropractor. I need to run a business. But once I stepped through the front door and I viewed my front door literally like a mesh screen, and I would emerge through it as literally just a hollow vessel, clean being of service, and say, this is a person. This is a person with feelings and emotions and their own innate and their family. And if I could treat this person as a person, and maybe they're scared to be there, they're facing a health issue, maybe it is just wellness care, but deep down inside, there's always that moment of, if I go to a doctor, maybe something's really wrong with me, or they're facing death in a way. And I just said, okay, what would be the most comfortable experience for that person? And turned it into catering to their innate ability to heal and teach them how strong they are and how much potential they have, and just focus on that. And I truthfully am not a numbers guy. I don't look at my numbers every week. I don't look at my numbers sometimes every month. I just set out with the intention of, did I give everything I had that day to my people that were able to come in, and the universe saw fit that I see? And then the numbers keep adding up.
Yeah.
And I have a question, Austin. How long did it take you to realize that? Are we talking weeks or months?
No, truthfully, it was probably the first 2 years is what it took me. Even as a lifelong DE guy, and I'm like hardcore principal, anybody who's listening to this can come into my office anytime we're open, and you will not see me hiding anything in closets or pushing anything under tables. It's literally two hands, three tables, and like that is it. And you can come in anytime and test me on that. So I'm a pretty hardcore straight chiropractic guy. And it was still about 2 years. Like, I wore a tie to the office for 2 years. I like wanted to look the part. I spoke in very professional terms. I did the whole modeling, and it was all very templated and formulaic, because I felt like I had to prove myself as a younger guy if I shave this beard, I look like I'm 16 years old. And people would ask me like, oh, is the doctor going to come out soon? And it was like, it was kind of embarrassing at first to feel so young, knowing what I knew about chiropractic. I just couldn't convey it, what I felt was, completely to people, because they expected something different. And I started to sort of bend to everybody's expectations. And it was a slow growth period. I didn't hit the ground running. I didn't come out and just see 300, 400, like immediately. I was scraping by for quite a while when I started, because I was trying to do what I thought everybody else wanted in a chiropractor, in a doctor. And it's when I started just telling the truth, detaching from the result, whether they said yes to my care or no, just complete detachment. As long as I presented the truth, I felt clean in my presentation, and then started to build from that point. But it took probably close to 2 years.
So when you look at that, I mean, I think the audience would like to know, you moved to San Francisco, you know, what'd you start with? I mean, you know, were you in debt? Was it like what did that look like? Here you are. Saying, well, what we're saying is, after I just went into my authentic self.
I had a little bit of debt.
So like, were you desperate? Was there money on the side? Did you have a bank account with millions of dollars already stashed inside of it, or a pillow? You know, what was it like? It's funny, Dr. Murray, when Austin, you're back with us. What was it like?
Yes. So when I started, I left LifeWest with a sizable amount of debt. The debt never bothered me. I knew that once I got into practice, that would all take care of itself. The debt really never bothered me. I don't mind talking numbers. I think I was in the range of $220,000 or so in debt. I was fortunate enough.
That's living at home, right?
Living at home, living pretty simply.
Simply? Come on, get out of here. How do you live simply with $220,000? We'll get into that another time. Keep going.
Yeah, so I opened up in the city. I went on Craigslist every day and looked at commercial spaces. I knew where I wanted to practice. That was the most important thing, was finding an area that I felt most comfortable, because I truly believe that when you're most comfortable, you provide the best care. So I found a neighborhood I was comfortable and I wanted to be in that was underserved. And I say underserved because when I opened, there was 4 chiropractors within 2 blocks of me. But they were doing all kinds of other modalities and all kinds of other stuff. So I met with the guy. I had saved enough for a first month and last month security deposit. Wow. Put that down, got back on Craigslist, bought 3 tables from a local chiro, actually an old LifeWest grad who was done with her tables. Bought a couple hutches, a couple computers, and that was it. I opened up with like a Square reader on my phone to accept payment. A phone. I was using my cell phone. I had 3 tables and 2 computers, and that's it. And I ran my bank account down to about $400. And I then proceeded to live at my office. And I had just met the woman who's now my wife. We were dating. And I told her very openly, I see us going the distance, but I got to build this thing first. And if you have any problems with that, we're not going to make it, because this is my first love. And I lived at that office. I would sit there and watch Netflix rather than doing it at home. I did it at the office at the front desk. So people just saw someone in there, because I have big front windows. I answered emails. I ate every meal there. I slept. I did everything at that office. So if anyone ever knocked on the door, I was there. Wow. And I basically just lived at the office for the first 2 years. We didn't take a vacation for almost the first 4 years. And I was there 6 days a week, from 7 in the morning till 7 at night.
Wow.
Saturdays included. So it was Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
I have a question.
I paid. Yeah.
I was going to say, I've been to your office. Is parking a challenge?
Thankfully not. We do have street parking and it's non-metered. So without having a dedicated parking lot, people seem to always find it. And thankfully in the city, we're at a midpoint between 2 bus stops and there's a lot of public transit. And with Uber and Lyft, and how often people use that, that hasn't been much of an issue, thankfully. There's certain times a day for sure it is, but overall, not much, thankfully.
Do you know what? You know what just hit me?
What's that?
Almost positive that Dr. Mayer and I were at your grand opening. Yes, we were.
You were, I think, with Dr. Jason Reich.
Yeah, we were there for some reason, and there was something happening in the city, and then we heard you had your grand opening, and we were staying in downtown, and we came over. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, you guys are there.
Yeah, and what a beautiful office. And just for our view, you know, it was like, looked like a brownstone almost, right? Like it was like almost like a house or something, right?
Yeah, it's a townhouse. It was actually, it's a ground floor apartment that my friend and I basically gutted and turned into an office.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty office.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's simple, right? It's you've seen it. It's what they call a shotgun apartment. It's a very long rectangular looking space.
Yeah.
It's got two main adjusting rooms, a back office where we do our new patient and re-exams, and then a big front welcoming area, and that's really it.
Yeah. All right, so you said you know you moved there. Some folks came from Oakland with you, but you really had to kind of, I mean, obviously, you know, you kept the windows open. What did they say? Like Holiday Inn, the lights are on or something like that, you know?
So yeah, we'll leave Netflix, the lights on for you.
Yeah, you're watching Netflix at the counter.
Yeah,
you know, people coming by at 11 o'clock knocking on the door wondering if that, you know, but regardless, you didn't do a lot of advertising, that's what you said, you know, and your social media is pretty much your personal social media. What'd you do to grow your practice of, you know?
So I have two super simple techniques that I've used. One is with social media, things like Twitter and Instagram, I'll search hashtags, which is super simple, and I'm in Hayes Valley, so I'll just search the hashtag Hayes Valley. And I'll find what people are posting, and I'll find some of the regulars and people. And it's never, hey, come in. It's just, oh, that place looks really good to eat. Two, I'm right around the corner from there. I've heard a lot about it. And just like leave little clues where maybe they'll check in on and say, oh, who is this guy? And now my name on Instagram and Twitter is The Chiropractor. So it's pretty obvious what I do. But then you click into it and they'll find, oh, I'm the chiropractor around the corner. We actually got quite a bit of business from just leaving comments on people's posts that had hashtagged Hayes Valley, especially families, because we have a couple of playgrounds. We've gotten a lot of families, which can be, you know, a sensitive subject, commenting on people's kids on social media. But it's, oh, wonderful. I've taken my child to that playground. I'm around the corner of my office, it's around the corner from it. And, you know, we do a lot of pediatric work. So a lot of my patients go to that playground. And so we'll leave little clues that way. The other one, again, is I'm a very conversational person. So any store, any restaurant, anywhere I go, I lead with, oh, my patient had told me about this place, or my patient say I have to come eat here. And I will repeat that until they say, oh, patients, what do you do? So I'm the chiropractor, I'm right around the corner. And I will keep repeating that. And then inevitably they go, chiropractor, one of two things. And you know this, I've always wanted to try. Here's a card, or oh, thank God, I've never needed one. And then it's a very easy opening conversation too. I used to think that way too until I learned what it was. And this is what we do, and this is why it's important. Here's a bunch of cards, bring the whole staff.
That's great.
And so I'll lead with my patient sent me here, or search those hashtags.
Yeah, I love the idea of searching hashtags, you know? I mean, you know, there's a border on stalking. I don't know. I'm not a social media person, so I don't know. But, you know, but obviously you're commenting on people's kids. Whatever it might be. But tell me,
Yeah, and, you know,
Did you ever ask for referrals?
Do I ask for referrals on social media?
No, but just even like face-to-face, did you ever ask for referrals? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, that's touching on the first thing we talked about. That's always been a challenge for me is because I don't do screenings, and I see a chiropractor regularly, and I think about how I would feel if they were like, hey, bring people, and where is that coming from? So it's usually I'll ask for referrals when a patient shares their experience with me, saying, I never thought I could feel this good. I never thought I could get off meds. I didn't realize it could be like this. And the way I'll ask for referrals is that what you're saying means so much to me, which is important. I thank you for that. But think about all the people in your position that would never have associated chiropractic with getting off antidepressants or better digestion or getting pregnant. Like, think about all those people. And then they start, and I go, if you wouldn't mind, would you leave a review? Mm-hmm. Yelp or Google or something like that, because how many people could do with that? And I said, and if there's anyone in your life dealing with that, I would love to just talk to them. I would love to answer their questions. So it's not like, hey, send them in, get them on a plan like you are, but just like, please use me as a resource, because the medical world can be a big, scary world. And talking to a doctor sometimes can be a difficult to access. I'm very accessible. Just please let me talk with them or answer their questions. And that's usually how we generate a lot of our referrals, where it's more of just being open to a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Cause it feels so natural. It feels organic. And especially in today's world, it doesn't feel like, oh gosh, I have to refer somebody. One of my favorite lines in practice was always, and I stole this from somebody else, was, don't keep us a secret.
Yeah, right. Yeah. My father always said, we shouldn't be the best kept secret. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's great. Yeah.
No, that's a really good point.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. Austin, because you're in a big city, and yet people think, oh my gosh, when someone's in a big, you know, you're one of the largest metropolitan cities in the country, in San Francisco.
Right.
And people think like, oh my, it just should be so easy because there's so many people. But the truth is, it's harder a lot of times to reach those people than being in a smaller town where you can get known so quickly, right?
I was just talking to somebody about this, where in a city you'd think, oh, there's 7 million people, they just flood in, there's people everywhere, but there's also options everywhere. And someone's not going to go 10 blocks if there's two other chiropractors between you and that point, unless you really have something to offer, you can really educate them. Where someone in a small town, people drive 20, 30 minutes to go to the grocery store without blinking. That's normal. So they don't mind traveling. They don't mind, you know, the few options. So in the city, there's definitely a lot of competition. If you want to view it that way, I've tried to take an approach where there's more people in that city than I would ever be able to take care of by myself. In fact, that every chiropractor in the city could realistically take care of if we all truly bonded together and said, okay, we're going to divvy it up evenly, everyone take a cut, we would still be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So knowing that, everyone I met, I tried to amplify their message, their ability to serve. I refer out a ton of people. I love referring out people to Blair or Drop or Upper Cervical or Nuka if I know that that's going to be so much better for them. And I've been adjusted by all of those types of people. Mm-hmm. So I know what is best for those people. And much like don't keep us a secret, I also always try to educate that as a chiropractor, not to take prisoners. And it's a mentality of like, well, that's my patient and they're mine now and they should only be with me. This is their health and their life and their livelihood. And if there's a better option for them, we need to find that for them so that they get a true chiropractic experience and not just my technique, because that's what I do. And the little spider in a web, they came to my web and now they're stuck. I try to share as much as I can with as many chiropractors in the city as possible.
That's great. What would you say? If Dr. Mara and I stepped in your practice as lay people, right? You know, we came in, what would you say your unique factors are, you know, at your office? What's unique about the practice that you have built that people experience?
Oof, that's always a good question. I do know that my truth factor would be very unique, is that I really have detached myself from what do they want to hear and really try to only present what they need to hear. I don't ask questions like, oh, how are you doing today? How do you feel today? Because I want to remove completely feel and pain, no pain from the experience. My education, I think, sets me apart, is that I totally dig that you came in for a shoulder or whatever. And here's why, although I acknowledge that that is real for you, this is what chiropractic is. And if you're going to stay in this office, you're going to have to get an understanding of what I'm going to be working on, being your nervous system and clearing that interference. So we do have a lot of people that don't stick around, and on paper it would look like retention can be a little up and down, but it's organized that way. So the people that do stay get the big idea, which I not just believe, I know that sets us apart in the city. So the truth factor is important. The education is super important. And although there is some templating in terms of, I say the same thing on every report of findings to start, and it's an old saying, and I'm sure the three of us could probably say it out loud together. I do truly look at each person as an individual, and I feel like if you got a few of my patients on here, they would tell you the same, that it always feels like it's just me and him in the room. And I try to learn something personal about each person. I ask engaging questions. I just love people. Yeah. And I love being with people, and I love what they love, and I want them to express life at their peak potential. And I have patients who come in sometimes just to sit on the couch. They don't get adjusted. They just want to be in that environment because the outside world is a big, scary place for them. So they just come in and just like soak in the love there. And then they'll like give me a high five and they take off, and they, you know, so it's just an open environment in that way, where there's no expectation that you come in, you're going to pay me for care, and then you're going to leave.
It's great.
Ron and I were just talking about that the other day. In our office in San Diego, we had a similar experience when we promoted someone from twice a week to once a week. They refused. Yeah. They wanted to be in our office. And we'd look at them and say, like, no, you're promoted. Like, we're only going to see you once a week now. And they're like, well, can I still come twice?
Or they show up. You know, they were promoted to once a week, and they'd still come in twice a week, and our assistants would have to say, hey, Austin, you're scheduled for Wednesday.
We're not putting you back in the room.
I love that when you tell a patient, oh, it's going to be once a week, they go, do I have to? Can I? But Mary, you touched on something very important. I think that students would love to learn as well. We promoted you to once a week. A lot of times I hear people use terminology like, we're going to phase you down or phase out, or downgrade or cut down. And it's like, so it puts in their mind like it's a negative, even though what you said is so important. It's such a positive to be promoted to care. In our world, we want to see a patient less and less and less for the right reasons. I would love to see everybody every day, but that's not a reality. And we want them to gain the understanding of how strong they are and how capable they are. So using a term like promoted is so important. And that's been one of the major factors to our success, because we use the same, is we choose every word so carefully without sounding robotic. Mm-hmm. It comes off as effortless, but that takes painstaking preparation, daily practice in our affirmations, our meditation. Those first 2 years where it was slow and I was giving my talks to like the wall, it was just fine tuning the talks so I could do a report of findings in like 3 minutes instead of 30 minutes, because every word had a specific value, a specific purpose, and it still sounded like a friendly conversation, but there's no ums or likes or having to say the same thing twice in different ways. It was just targeted. And words like promotion is such an important lesson to learn. Yeah. Early on.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, because just listening to what you're saying, Austin, it's like, you know, there's so many gems and jewels, and that, but people have to understand, and you said it, it takes preparation. It takes repetition. It takes, you know, the training, you know, that old saying, train or don't complain, right? You know, it takes the training, you know, that we have to just do with ourselves. And to be able to put that time in to become better and better and better at what we do. And I think that's what the professional is, right? You know, that's the job that we have to do.
It's, I always say it's one of those, chiropractic is one of those professions that it's almost easy to get into, easy to get started. Obviously, it's a very complex profession. There's a lot of science and a lot of nuance, but it's staying in chiropractic that's a challenge, because it's not always open your door, people flood in. Oh, it's so simple. Who would argue with a clear communicating nervous system is better for everything? You express life better. Like, who would ever argue with that? When you put it on paper, you're like, oh, you must see a million people a day, because that's the simplest concept in health. But it's when there is frustrations or people say no to that, which they will, where it, how you adapt as a chiropractor is so essential, because you see people that are phenomenal educators or great adjusters, and they make it 5-8 years and they burn out on those little things that they never fine-tuned or looked into or learned how to practice and get past.
I love it. Awesome. We lost you on video, but we have you on audio. So We got a couple of, questions. Just for our audience to know that they're doing major construction remodel at Austin's house right now. Yeah. He's out in his backyard or somewhere, and they probably hit the router every once in a while, right?
There's one switch that turns the whole house router on and off, so they may be testing lights and
right.
Yeah.
Well, we got some questions we want to. We're coming to the to the end of our time together, Dr. Murray. I'll let you go.
Okay, I'll ask you the first one. If you could go back and speak to yourself when you were a chiropractic student, what advice would you give yourself?
Okay, guard your energy well. There's going to be a lot of small battles, and very few people, if any, have won the war in school. And I mean that to say, school is there to teach you things. It's not the end all be all. It is a great baseline blueprint for how to be a very successful chiropractor. You will learn a lot in the real world as well. So take what you can while in school. Spend as much time with the teachers you resonate with. They are such amazing resources. I loved being in their classroom hour, their office hours. I was a library hound. I worked in the cadaver lab. Use your school as such an abundant resource. It's not like a punishment to be in those walls. There's so much value and so much resource in that building. Spend all your time there. Forget about going to the movies. Forget about going to parties. Just spend your time library, office hours, cadaver lab, and adjusting rooms.
That's great.
Great advice.
All right. Well, same question I'm going to ask you, but now you're speaking to Dr. Austin, the new graduate practitioner just getting in practice. What would you tell yourself that Dr. Austin, from what you know now, what would you say?
So I can tell you exactly what I told myself, because I had a mantra from early on, and it's work as though you owe, not as though you're owed. And when I graduated, I felt like I put all this money, this time, this energy into getting this little diploma and my license. It's now my turn to get some. I'm now owed for all the work I've done. And I, from the moment I got out of school, I said, work as though you owe. You owe the universe for the opportunity to give love and serve abundantly. Just give everything without giving a piece of yourself away. Tap into that universal energy and just give abundantly. And when you think you're done giving, it means it's time to give even more.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great quote.
Oof, that was beautiful.
I want to write that down.
Please, it's for everybody.
Love it.
It is. And no matter what you do, and it's really a great place to come from, because you're really coming from giving and serving, out of your abundance, right?
Yeah.
And
the fact of the matter is, if you're listening to this right now, or we're here, you're blessed with abundance. And the best thing you can do is give that abundance, or at least that feeling of abundance, away as much as possible, because all people benefit from that feeling. It rises the entire vibrational energy of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. Dr. Murray, got anything?
No, I'm like, I feel good.
Well, I love it. Austin, thank you. We really appreciate getting this time with you. We've known you since you were since you were born. Of course, we know your parents, and we've watched you grow. Yeah. Amazing, amazing, human being who's just, making huge changes in people's lives. And it's so nice to see. And, and I just want to credit you with all the work that you've done, So thank you so much. And
you guys have been instrumental. I grew up, like I said, with your girls. I've just found a picture of all of us on a beach boogie boarding together in San Diego. And Dr. Ron, it was one of your talks at a LifeWest Lyceum when I was a student that really lit a fire for me. I always knew you as the fun Dr. Ron, like, let's go to the beach together, let's hang out. I'd never really heard you speak or with your intensity and your fire, because you're this big, lovable creature. And you have so much passion, and you and Mary heading up that school is the best thing that's happened in that school in a long time. And it was your talk at Lyceum that really lit a fire under me as a chiropractor.
That is so nice, Aaron. Thank you for sharing.
Going out of school, coming to school.
Thank you for sharing that. And I work as if I owe, right? It's really what it is. So. Awesome, that's man. Important. It was great having you, my man. Dr. Murray, always great to see you, though we're in different cities.
I know. I'll see you in a couple of days.
I'm sure we'll talk tonight and to our viewers. Thank you. You know, man, Austin Davis dropped a bunch of really cool bombs, and there's just a lot of good information. We'll put down his contact. I probably already was flashing on there. Reach out to him. He's an open book, as he said. Go visit him, you know, at Life Chiropractic Center in the city in San Francisco. Yep. And just, you know, whatever you do, keep learning, growing. Work as if you owe, not as if you're owed. And please share this message, share this Life by Life West with others that you think can benefit from it, or just want to hear it, or everybody should be hearing it. So we appreciate you. Every other week, we drop another Life by Life West, and the weeks in between, we do our Life Leadership Line. You're invited to all of that. And until we see you again, just know that we love and appreciate you. And keep working as if you owe. I love that, Austin. So thank you, Austin, for being with us.
Thanks, Austin.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity. I truly appreciate it.
You got it. And everyone else, until we see you again, just know that we love and appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.